everyone, and welcome to what is episode 30 of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. This is a special bite size that we're here just to specifically talk about last weekend, which was the great and epic San Diego Comic-Con 2013, which I, like all the tears, was not attending. I really had intended to originally, but we ran out of Hyperbowl tickets, basically. We get a certain amount, and I am not in the country of America, so I did not go this year. After the events of this year, I'm determined to get in early and get a flight and a Hyperbowl press ticket to Comic-Con next year, because next year we must go together, Karen.
Yes, that would be so amazing.
But Karen went to Comic-Con, so I'm here basically to talk to Karen about everything that happened with Teen Wolf at Comic-Con, and be very jealous and sad, but basically hear all her stories about the Teen Wolf experience and about meeting the cast and everything that happens. So, yeah, I mean, as usual, Twitter, Tumblr, email, natwpodcast at Twitter, natwpodcast at Gmail, and notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. Let us know if you watched the Comic-Con panels online or any of the roundtable videos that were posted, what your favorite piece of information from Comic-Con was, anything like that, you know, or, you know, how jealous you are, like me, of Karen for getting to go and hang out with everyone and meet Jeff and all of that stuff that I'm sure she'll tell us about in great detail in a few seconds, and I will cry. But, yeah, so firstly, Karen, Comic-Con, what was it like in general? How was the entire experience? Have you been to California before or to
Comic-Con? No,
you haven't been to Comic-Con before.
Nope, that was my first con. That was my first trip to California. That was my farthest trip out west. I think the farthest I had gone before was like Ohio. So everything was a pretty much brand new experience.
And you met a lot of our Hyperbowl friends at Comic-Con.
Yes, and they're all amazing and lovely. And I'm definitely not just saying that. I had a blast. Everyone was perfect. And everything was perfect up until I tried to come home.
Yeah, Karen got stuck on the way home, as you may have heard in the last episode. And what, you were delayed overnight in somewhere random?
Yeah, well, what happened was there was an accident at LaGuardia Airport in New York City, which is where we were flying into. One of the landing gear, the front nose landing gear, collapsed, and this plane, like, just basically had a really hard entrance. Like, nobody was seriously injured or anything like that. Nobody died. It wasn't, like, a huge accident, but they canceled a lot of flights into New York City. And so we made it to Texas, where we had our layover, and Mikhail and I were flying back home together. And we ended up getting stuck in Texas because all of these flights were canceled. They actually shut down LaGuardia for the night, so nobody could get back to New York City. And we spent the night in Grapevine, Texas.
And that was that a real place?
That is a real place. Apparently, it's right outside Dallas. And I went to text it to one of my friends to tell them where I was stuck, and it actually accidentally came out Rapevine.
Oh my God.
That's kind of appropriate.
Oh my God.
But yeah, we were stuck in Grapevine, Texas overnight. And the next day, we had a flight to go back to New York City. That got canceled. And we ended up hopping over to Arkansas. And when we got to Arkansas, the flight was delayed, but we were actually able to get back into LaGuardia after like an hour delay. And we were home. And I cannot tell you how excited I was to see New York again. It was like the best feeling ever.
That's horrible and insane. And then you came right home, watched the episode of Teen Wolf, and recorded a show.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, yeah, I had to drive from New York City to New Jersey, where I was staying before I left to go to California. And from New Jersey, we drove back to where I live in upstate New York. And then, yeah, I got home and I was like, okay, I really need to watch this episode because I was seeing like a bunch of people saying how great it was and stuff. And then we recorded, and I stayed up till 4 a.m. And I wasn't tired because I was still on California time.
Oh, dear. Well, hopefully you can get reset pretty soon. But in the meantime, the actual cons. So let's talk, I guess, about the panel first. Was that your first experience with Teen Wolf at the con? Like you, the fan panel, that was on Thursday, right?
Right. Yeah. And that was, it was great. It was awesome. We got into the room just fine and sat kind of close to the front, which was really cool. I was in front of like, it was in ballroom 20. So it basically holds like 4,000 people and they have the panel table up front, but they also have these two gigantic screens on either side of the room so that even if you can't see them on the panel, you can see the screens. And we were sitting directly in front of it. So it was like they were right in front of me, which was really exciting. And just got to hear them talk for an hour and they showed us the trailer for the last four episodes that was released right before the panel started. So everybody else actually got to see it before we got to see it. Mm-hmm. But it was so exciting seeing it on that giant screen with the cast in the room and with all the other fans. Everybody was screaming and it was so, so exciting.
Yeah, what was it like being around that many Teen Wolf fans? Like, have you ever sort of been a part of the fandom in real life, like en masse? Like, what was that? Do you hear like any random snippets of conversation that you're just like, oh my god, I know what you're talking about, or you know, anything like that? Like, did you talk to any fans?
No, basically it was Mitch, me, Kyle, and Kristen, and we're all huge fans of the show. And actually the only person that hasn't been on the podcast yet is Mitch, but he will be on sometime in the near future. Mm-hmm. And so we were all kind of freaking out together, and I didn't talk to any of the other fans in the room or anything, but it was so exciting because when you're here on the other end of the computer by yourself, you know that there are a lot of fans out there, but Teen Wolf is actually still a pretty small show. I mean, it's not Doctor Who, where like basically the whole world is in love with the show. Mm. We've got a fairly small fan base that is growing, and it's very passionate, but to be in a room with, you know, so many people that love Teen Wolf as much as I love it was incredible. And I think the first time that I actually really felt that was that morning when I was getting off the shuttle, getting into Comic-Con. These two girls were dressed, they were Teen Wolf cosplayers. And I was like, oh my God, like there are Teen Wolf cosplayers here. And it was just so exciting to know that even if, you know, they were the only two people that I saw, that there was somebody there who is passionate enough about the show to carry around lacrosse sticks and have a Stilinski shirt on.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's so cool. I haven't been to Comic-Con for 2 years. I went in 2011, which was apparently the time literally just before Teen Wolf launched as a show. They had a panel launching the show at Comic-Con, and I didn't know about this. Obviously I didn't know. I think I even saw it on the schedule. I'm like, what is that? And I didn't get into Teen Wolf till a year later, basically. And so the same as my friend Audrey, who I met at that Comic-Con, and she is also obsessed with Teen Wolf now. We got into it at the same time together. And we basically found out that at their first Comic-Con in 2011 that they had a tiny room that they couldn't fill. They could not get enough people into the room, and they just had a tiny thing. Basically, no one had any faith in them. They're like, what is this show launching? I don't think any episodes had aired, maybe one or two episodes had aired. And knowing that now, that they were probably like all walking around like people like Dylan and Holland and stuff, who would not, you know, were not really recognizable from other shows, so they were just there basically as attendees on a very small panel. I just die, like, at the thought of it, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, oh my God. But, you know, and now it's massive. It's one of the biggest fandoms. I mean, not one of the biggest fandoms at the con, obviously. The, you know, Hall H panels are the biggest, but it's definitely very hyped. It's a show covered by so much media now. Like, you know, even when we started the podcast, we didn't even have a Teen Wolf tag on Hyperbole, and now it's like our Teen Wolf stories are like the top stories when they're posted.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. And it was so cool being in that room and knowing that everybody there was there for Teen Wolf pretty much. And there were two panels back to back. One had Posey on it, and that was the Brave New Warriors panel. And I think a lot of, I mean, there were people there for like Matt Smith from Doctor Who, Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. They had the guy, David, I think his name was, he's from Grimm. And oh, they had somebody from The Walking Dead. And then I think it was Posey. And you could tell that like a lot of people were there for Posey because of Teen Wolf. And then when the Teen Wolf panel started, it was just everybody was screaming and it was so amazing. And to know that 4,000 people could fit into that room and that they were probably most of them, I would say, were Teen Wolf fans were it was just incredible. It was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, what? I just can't. But anyway, the Brave New Warriors panel, what exactly was that about? Like, was it just like, you know, the you know, stars of, you know, the new kind of heroes of shows, or what was it? I just can't. Matt Smith and Kit Harington are two of my biggest crushes in the world, and I cannot believe that they were sitting there on a panel with that idiot Tyler Posey, and I just would have died. Like, I mean, at the Teen Wolf panel itself, I also would have died, but that panel, I just would have started, I don't know, I was going to say they would have had to restrain me, but no, I'm very good. I'm not a weird creeper. I don't lose my head, but I would have secretly inside just been weeping. So what happened at that panel?
That panel was actually really amazing, and I knew, like, I've seen most of Grimm, and I've obviously am a huge Doctor Who fan, so like I knew of Matt Smith. That was like the first time I've really ever seen Kit Harington, because I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Sucks to be you.
I know.
He's an angel.
He was lovely, and I think the other guy was Stephen Young or something. He's from The Walking Dead. And so, yeah, it was all of them up there. And it was basically a panel about, yeah, like the heroes of the TV shows. And I think the moderator basically called it like the sexy men panel, because they're all so gorgeous and wonderful. And it was so funny because like Matt and Kit were kind of broing out. And like, I think at one point Matt put his arm around Kit and they were just very English and very awesome. And David from Grimm, he kept saying how sexy Tyler Posey was, and the whole room would start screaming. And
Posey was not looking sexy at Comic-Con. Tyler Posey had a 70s porn mustache at Comic-Con, unfortunately, for everyone involved. But, you know, he clearly thinks it's hilarious or something, so that's nice.
I actually didn't mind it this time as much as I did last time. I think maybe it was just the shock of it last time. This time, I don't know if it looked different, if he did something different with it, but it wasn't too bad. But, yeah, I definitely prefer him clean-shaven because, yeah, 70s porn mustache, that's a good way to put it. But the whole panel, like, there was this really great camaraderie between everybody, and they all sort of got their own spotlight and were talking about their shows and talking about like each other's shows and how amazing everybody else was. And they got some really great questions and everything, and it was just I was there for Tyler Posey, but I stayed for everybody because it was just that good.
That's awesome. That's a really good thing about Comic-Con, that they put these things together. Like, I know, I think Entertainment Weekly hosts a panel that's, like, fan favorites from TV shows, and, like, that, you know, it's having randoms. I think one they had was, like, a couple of years ago was, like, Matt Smith, Nathan Fillion and stuff like that. And those kind of things, like, getting to see those kind of people interact together and be part of that whole, like, nerd culture together. And, you know, I think Comic-Con is a time when people can really, especially, like, shows that have fandoms as opposed to just fan bases. I think though a lot of the actors involved in those kind of shows know about it, and they either are already or become the kind of people that think the way their fans think. They think pretty deeply about things, and when they do press with like some casual magazine, they might not really get like very deep or thorough questions about, you know, like really probing stuff, like the stuff that real fans want to know about a show. And at Comic-Con, it's the one time of year where, like, everything is, like, hardcore, you know, really serious questions and or fun questions, or, you know, and everyone's, like, really on the same level. It's so, like, relaxed and cool like that. So, yeah, it's really fun to see all those people meeting and becoming friends and cross-fandom, and people on Twitter posting photos being like, lol, it's Matt Smith and Kit Harington or whatever, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like Posey hanging with Matt Smith, that's just like weird, but yeah.
Yeah.
So that happened right before your Teen Wolf panel in the same room, like it was the lead up to that.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so when the panel happened for Teen Wolf, yeah, basically what happened? Who do you know who the moderator was? Or
oh gosh,
no, it wasn't someone like. Sometimes the moderators are like famous. It might not have been.
No, I think it was somebody from EW, but I don't remember who it was. It wasn't like Craig Ferguson did the Doctor Who panel. It wasn't anybody like that.
Yeah, cool. Oh well. So I heard online that basically they brought everyone out, and when they brought out Dylan, he got a standing ovation. Is that true?
I don't think so. I mean, people definitely were cheering a lot, and maybe some people stood up, mm-hmm. but our section didn't. And it was, I mean, everybody got a really solid cheer, and I think Dylan was definitely one of the ones that got the biggest ones, but yeah. Everybody was excited to see everybody. It was really great. And the best part was they were coming out on the stage, and you could tell, like, they're still not quite used to how big the fandom has gotten. And yeah. Like we have said several times, between season 2 and season 3, the fandom has grown exponentially. Mm. And I don't think they were expecting the kind of cheering and stuff that they got when they came out, because everybody's face was like, oh my God, do you see this? And I think Dylan actually kind of dropped the F-bomb because he was like, holy. And yeah. it was so funny, but I was so glad that they got such a positive response coming out on that stage.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, like, it's really cute that they're, like, overwhelmed and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's really nice. And so Jeff was on the panel as well. Was he the only crew member, or was it any of the other producers? Jeff, and then it was Tyler Posey, Tyler Hecklin, Dylan, Daniel, the twins, Holland and Crystal. Is that everyone that was there?
Yep.
Cool. And so what did you find most interesting about the panel?
Oh gosh, everything. I was just so excited to be there, to be in the same room with them, and to get to cover it for Hypeable. That was really fun, doing sort of like a live notes and then drawing it up into a post right after. But I think it was cool hearing them talk about the show, and, you know, Jeff was saying about what the purpose of season 3 was and how he wanted to introduce new characters but still make you stay in love with the characters we already knew. And that was all very exciting, but I was really into the part where they were talking about season 3B and how they were going to have, you know, the Japanese myths coming in and the new characters, an Asian American female who was added to the cast, and just all of this stuff about the second half of season 3, which won't premiere until January 6th, which feels like it's literally years away.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had Kiahu show up.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what on earth happened there? Because
God.
I know that he, because my Comic-Con experience, I mean, my Comic-Con experience when I was following everything on Twitter, you know, very, you know, viscerally, that he traveled down, I can't handle this, with Will Wheaton. And I don't know if they were friends before this or whatever, but they were definitely like hanging on the train together, because the train to Comic-Con is one of the best things ever, by the way. I don't know if you flew into LA or San Diego, but we were already in LA when I went and got the train down the coast from LA to San Diego. And I've got friends in San Diego, so I've done that a couple of times, but it's such a nice journey. It's called the Pacific Surfliner, and it's like right along the ocean, but like it's like a train full of nerds when it's for Comic-Con, and it's so cool. It's just like the best vibe, and it's like, you know, getting the bus to like, you know, oh, I don't know, like somewhere fun, like a school trip, but like a good one. And he was traveling down with Will Wheaton, I think he talked about like putting his costume together. That he was like, or Will Wheaton's wife or something was like, always, know you're at Comic-Con when you're sitting there with someone using a rivet gun on their costume on the train on the way to Comic-Con, and Kiahu replied and then something about it, and then Wil Wheaton was like, shut up and keep riveting or something, and I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. I love Comic-Con so much. And but yeah, he crashed the Teen Wolf panel in the Q&A.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And you know, they were calling up the fans so that they could ask questions. And this usually really isn't my favorite part of any panels. And if you guys follow me on Twitter, you've seen me say this on multiple occasions, because as Brooke says, you know, there's just so much secondhand embarrassment because people kind of fall over themselves. And I totally get that, because it is very intimidating to like look up at your heroes and be like, oh my God, I'm speaking to you right now. But so I was kind of like, you know, whatever about the fan questions. And by that time, the panel was almost over. So I knew we had gotten through like a lot of the main stuff already. And so this guy walks up to the microphone and he's dressed in costume, like a very elaborate costume. And he has a mask on. And the guy is like, you know, I'm sorry, we have to ask you to remove your helmet or else we're not going to be able to hear you ask your question. And so he takes off his helmet and I look up and the first thing I see are Kiahu's dimples. And I just go, oh my God, it's Danny. And the entire room just, I can't even tell you, I probably busted an eardrum.
Everybody.
Everybody was screaming, and I mean, he had these like crazy contacts in, and I kept looking at him, and I'm like, is that really Kiahu? Is he really standing right there? Did he just crash the panel? And it was just so incredible, and I love it when they do those sort of things, because it always takes everybody by surprise, and everybody's just so excited, because, you know, Kiahu and Danny are fan favorites, and I think that it was a nice way to sort of shine the spotlight on him.
Yeah, I mean, what did he ask exactly? Something terrible.
It was if we were going to get more Miguel.
Oh, God. That's beautiful. I miss Miguel. Good old Miguel. But yeah, he's fabulous. And I know that he attended Comic-Con pretty much as a fan, like as he obviously was on the panel. And I mean, I think they just had the regulars there. But it's so cool that he came and messed around and that he loves cosplaying, apparently, which is really cool.
We sort of knew this already, but he is a giant nerd, and I love when actors aren't just professionals, they're fans too, and to have him cosplaying because he wants to cosplay, like some of the other stars, like Matt Smith walked around with like a Bart Simpson mask on because he wanted to go around the floor and stuff like that, and they filmed it, and it was like a whole thing, but to do it because you love doing it is just, I really love that. And I really like him as a person too.
Yeah. Seth Green and Nathan Fillion, I know both cosplay, partially as a disguise, if you know what I mean, partially so they can go around themselves, but they don't do it like Matt Smith in a Bart Simpson mask. They cosplay properly, which is cool. And I remember when I went to Comic-Con as well, a couple of the panels I sat in on, not so much like the actor ones, like not so much the like this is about a show, but the like, you know, like women in so-and-so or like writers who do this kind of thing, you know.
Right.
A lot of the panelists for that were like, they were professionals, like they were people who were professional in the industry, but they were cosplaying, like, you know, it's because they're nerds, they're in this industry because they're nerds. And with acting, it's always a bit of a toss-up, like some people are just actors and they're, you know, they're not particularly involved in the culture of whatever their fandom is about. But, you know, some people, especially ones, you know, who start out in, you know, in something nerdy, love those kind of things because they're nerdy as well, and it's really cool. So yeah, I love that he did that. He made, if you saw pictures of him, he made that costume himself with this little rivet gun. And I know I saw it and Dylan was like, what are you wearing? And he's like, a cape. Like, duh. and it was just really cool. I loved it. So that was fun. I mean, you know, was there anything about the panel that you sort of noticed with, you know, just people's interactions, you know, body language or like, you know, friendships or like cute moments of funniness with,
oh my God.
With the cast.
There was this one part where Basically, I think it went on the panel from right to left. It was Jeff, then Posey, and then Holland, and then Dylan, and then you had the rest of the cast. And I'm trying to think exactly what they were talking about, but basically Posey and Dylan were saying, like, how close they were and everything like that, and they were saying that it was really freaking them out that they weren't sitting next to each other. And they were like, we're literally about to rip Holland apart to get to each other. And I was just like, oh my God, it's Scott and Styles on stage right now. And it was so funny and it was so cute. And like, I think at one point, like, Holland leaned back so they could, like, I think they, like, grabbed each other's
hands or something.
Yeah. It was so amazing. And everybody up on that stage was just, I think they were just so happy to be there, so happy to see their fans and to talk about the show that they obviously love too. And even with, like, the twins and, well, I guess even to an extent Daniel, because they are a bit newer to the show, they didn't seem out of place. You know, people still cared about them, still cared about their answers and stuff like that. And they were still really into the whole thing. And just, I mean, yeah, the Posey and Dylan part was the greatest, I think. And but everybody was just amazing.
That's so cute and awesome. Obviously, the panel is online in video, and we have a recap of it from you on Hyperbole as well of the most interesting information. So if you guys want, like, all the ins and outs of, like, all the information given for that, you can go on Hyperbole and see the panel or see the recap. But I wanted to talk to Karen about what she experienced, and Karen wanted to sort of say what her personal things were. So we're basically just giving a very subjective viewpoint of Teen Wolf at Comic-Con. So what other panels did you see that involved Teen Wolf? You went to the music one with Jeff Davies. What happened there?
Yeah, there was this panel called Character of Music, and it was basically for a couple of different shows, and it was the executive producer and the composer. So Jeff was there.
I saw this when I went with, they had it for, like, Dexter, Avatar, Last Airbender, and stuff like that. They did not have it for Teen Wolf, obviously. I'm jealous that, you know, they didn't have it for Teen Wolf when I saw it, but it's a really cool concept for a panel.
Yeah, it was, and Jeff was there and Dino was there, and basically what it was about was the fact that the music in a TV show is almost like its own character, because it can play such an important role in the show. And they went down, and I'm trying to think, like, I know Hannibal was one of the shows, Black Sails, I think, was another one. And there were a few, like, I know the guy from, like, Battlestar Galactica was there. And I can't remember, like, what current show he's doing. And there was something else. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I was there for Jeff and Dino. So, like, I wasn't paying too much attention to the other ones, even though it was super interesting. But it was great just kind of seeing the spotlight on Jeff, which he does get a good amount of attention because, you know, he is this genius running the show and everything. But I think a lot of people go for the stars, which is totally fine. I mean, they're the stars of the show. But it was cool seeing Jeff sort of by himself and Dino, who does a lot of the music, and talking about how much of an influence music has in the show.
Yeah. And what did they say specifically about Teen Wolf's music?
They were just talking about the different sounds that they wanted. They talked a lot about the choir. And
is that the upcoming thing from the trailer, you mean?
No. Well, they talked a little bit about that. That was like the band.
And yeah, yeah.
It's actually the composer during that.
Okay.
But it was the choir. You know the scary music that sort of plays, like the chant that plays when the Duroc is supposedly around?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. And Jeff kept saying, oh, I want a choir. And Dino found a way to make it happen. And basically the two, like, major interesting parts that came out of this was the fact that what they're saying in the chant is actually, like, a Gaelic poem. And so I was like, oh, you know, I didn't know that. That was kind of interesting. And the other thing was that Lydia is actually the only person that can hear the chant.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out more about that on this week's episode that's coming up.
Yeah.
Damn you, Jeff. So that's cool. That's a really cool kind of thing to spotlight. I mean, it's cool to bring everyone down and get them to sort of go on as many panels as possible, you know, like as many different aspects as possible that might interest people about the show. So it's cool that you got to go to that one. Was that on the Thursday as well, or was that on Friday?
That was on Friday, right after actually I interviewed the cast at the roundtables. There was like an hour in between, so I had just seen Jeff, and then I ran over to the panel, and he was there too.
Okay. So before we get to that, the roundtables, I mean, on the Thursday, did you anything else about the con that you wanted to ramble about? Like, did you go out to any of the parties? I know, like, some friend of mine tweeted, and she was at, like, a public party, like, not even, like, an industry party. I think it was, like, something at Nerd HQ. You just had to be over 21. And she was like, oh, yeah, I've just got to this party, but I want to go to bed. But Nathan Fillion, Matt Smith, and Kit Harington have just showed up, like, at this public party of fans. And it's like, oh, fine, you know, whatever. And so, what kind of events were going on around San Diego, like, in the gas lamp and, like, in that whole little, isn't it cool, like, the gas lamp district? Isn't it the cutest, like, thing ever?
Yeah.
And, like, what was the vibe on the street like and all of that kind of stuff?
Oh, my God. There's so many people. I mean, it was impossible to walk pretty much anywhere. Like, even 3 o'clock in the morning was crazy. There was just people everywhere. And I was like, wow, you know, I can't imagine how much the population of San Diego went up during this con.
Yeah.
But on Thursday, actually, I was planning on going to a Scholastic party where they were going to unveil the next cover for the Harry Potter book, the new covers that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't end up going to that because MTV was having a party in the park. I think it was Petco Park. It was just called like MTV2 Party in the Park or something like that. And I decided to go there to try to meet up with Matt, the social media guy who runs all the Teen Wolf stuff, because we had been corresponding back and forth. And I actually didn't get to see him, didn't get to go to the signing because they were pretty much done by the time we got in.
Oh, they were doing a signing at the party.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it was just, so basically we like walked around, watched them sign for a while, walked around, got some free food, and didn't really get to do a whole lot. But it was just, it was really cool to be in there anyway and to see everybody again. And they're just, I mean, there are a lot of actors, I think, who are aware of their fans and who try not to get too involved with that because a lot of fans can be a little overwhelming. And, I mean, Teen Wolf fans, you know, that's something, too. You know, they can be a little overwhelming. But everybody there is just so gracious, and they were so happy, and they left the signing, and everybody was just waving and smiling. And
it was just not being awful. No. And, yeah.
No. It was just really great, and they were just, you could tell how sincerely happy they were that everybody was there to see them. They really appreciated it.
That's cute and nice and good.
Yeah.
And so then on Friday you had the press, which was, did they do a press panel like at a table and then round tables, or was it just round tables?
It was just round tables. And
when did you find this out? Because you thought it was going to be a press conference, right?
Yes. Okay, this is what happened. So I wasn't sure I was going to be able to make the press because I wanted to be at the fan panel, and I wasn't sure if they were going to be like too close to each other, where if the press panel was right before the fan panel, I wouldn't have been able to make it into the fan panel, and I really wanted to see the fan panel. And so I was like, oh, am I going to be able to do both or not? Well, it turned out that Thursday was the fan panel and Friday was this press conference, and I was like, okay, great, I can do it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a journalist. I have an art history degree. This is like the first time I've been to Comic-Con. I've never interviewed anybody face-to-face before. But sure, I'll give it a go. I'll take one for the team. Basically, I got to the room, and there are all these round tables. And I'm like, okay, so they're going to sit somewhere, and people are basically just going to be able to ask questions. Fine, that's cool. So I sit down, and I kind of make friends with the people where I am. And they're like, oh, let's leave these two chairs open for the talent. And I was like, what?
What?
Like, they're going to be sitting with us. And I kind of finally figured out that, holy crap, these are round tables.
Yeah.
I'm literally going to be
sitting
across.
You're not in an audience. Yeah. For those who don't know, like, who aren't down with the con lingo, round table interviews are basically, I mean, you will have seen the videos probably. It's basically you're given a time, I guess it's an hour or maybe a little less, and the press comes in and sits, say, what, like eight to a table approximately? How many was it?
It was like five or six.
Oh, less than that. Okay, so the press from each place who apply to be at the press. Sometimes the press conference is they're on a panel, you ask questions back and forth, they're introduced, and it's like a fan panel except it's press questions, like, so what can you tell me about this, and back and forth. And you know, you might ask one question to the table, or you might not, you might just record and then report back on it. Round tables are basically a round table, say six members of the press, and then each, or it's kind of like speed dating. Like, each of the cast members, like, in pairs, I guess, in this case, come around, basically, that you stay where you are and they move. They, you know, have 10 minutes with you and then 10 minutes at the next table or whatever. And then, so you get each talent come in and sit down and then do, like, sort of, not a one-on-one interview, but kind of a one-on-five. Like, everyone gets a turn to ask a couple of questions with the people sitting at the table. And, it, you know, you can film it. And each it creates a lot more press because each table might ask different questions. So, you know, out of, if they go around to four tables, that, you know, they're giving four different interviews, and if you manage to compile them all, it's a lot of information, basically. You know, because no one's wasting time, like, everyone's getting answers out of everyone. You know, if they were on a panel, you know, Dylan would be answering a question, but Daniel couldn't be answering a question at the same time. But it's basically maximizes the amount of information they can get out, as well as being very intimate. And Karen was clearly not prepared for this.
Not prepared at all. You have no idea.
And so, yeah, what happened exactly then when, you know, you were like, oh, so they're going to come sit down next to me. That's fun.
Yes, I had a very, very wonderful guy sitting near me, and he was sort of asking me, like, oh, you know, how many times you've been to Comic-Con? Have you done this before? And I was like, this is my first time. I have no idea what I'm doing. And he kind of explained it to me, which made me feel a lot better, because I was like, I'm not prepared to literally, like, ask these people these questions, because, I mean, yeah, like, we write for Hypeable and we are a professional website, but we're fans. We're massive fans of the things that we cover. And so I was definitely in those shoes when I was sitting at this table and I was like, holy crap, these people are right across from me. I'm asking them questions. It's all very exciting. So that was really cool. And by the time the whole thing started, I was very comfortable. And Posey was the first one that sat down with us. And he was just wonderful and goofy. And he was basically just having a conversation with us. And he was like, he kept saying, okay, I got to stop talking. You guys need to ask me questions. But he was just totally comfortable, like, literally talking about his life and, like, random things. And I think this one girl had, like, an Arrested Development sticker on her computer, and he was asking her about that. And it was just very chill and very kind. And it was really cool.
So did you record your round tables, or did you get someone else's recording of it, or did you just make notes or whatever?
I just made notes, which I wish I hadn't done, but I don't actually have a whole lot of room on my phone. So I couldn't really record it because I didn't want to, like, not take notes and then have it cut off and not remember stuff. So I was just, like, I had my questions on my phone, and then I was just taking, like, longhand notes.
Did you get to ask Tyler a question?
I didn't. We had some quite aggressive people at my table, so they didn't really let me get a word in edgewise. But I asked Jeff a question, and that was about as much as I got to do. But I was really happy just to sort of sit back and listen to their answers anyway, because everybody had really great questions. And the one thing that I was, you know, really wanting to ask anyway was for Jeff, and he gave me a very long answer and a really great answer, so I was quite happy with that.
Okay, so you had Tyler Posey, and then, so he was like that.
Yes.
Then who else did you have come and see you?
And then Dylan and Hecklin came next. They were together for some reason, which I was kind of surprised, because I thought that would elicit more stare questions.
Yeah.
But my table sort of, like I said, kind of aggressive people at my table, they established beforehand that nobody was to ask Steric questions, and I wasn't going to anyway, so it didn't bother me, but...
They were kind of controlling and...
Yeah. And I just thought it was interesting that those two came together, but they were really great. Dylan was really goofy and full of energy, and he specifically was talking about how he can relate to style so much because he has a lot of anxiety and he's had panic attacks, and that's not something that I really knew. So I thought
I saw the video of that round. I think I saw that. Have you found any of the roundtable videos that was, you know, was your Q&A, if you know what I mean, rather than someone else's table?
I didn't look yet, honestly, but I've
that,
been watching.
I think I've seen, unless he answered the same question. But yeah, he said that he's quite anxious and that he is playing a lot into that and that it's going to actually come up more, which is interesting given that we've sort of said that a few times, like being like, we haven't really seen him snapping the way he's been snapping, even when he like gets frustrated and yells, like which has happened two or three times this season. It's not really something like that's been like Styles before. And we're like, is he fraying? Is he getting emotionally like messed up right now? And it seems like that is actually a thing that's happening.
Right. Yeah. That's basically what he was alluding to. And it was funny because I was on Tumblr, I think it was yesterday, and I was scrolling through and I actually saw GIFs of the round table that I was at, and I was like, oh, that's so trippy. Like,
yeah.
I remember seeing that right in front of me, and now it's this GIF, and it was just, it was really funny.
I think that we can find the video of that one. And then, so who else was at the round tables? So Posey was on his own, and then Hecklin and Dylan, and they were lovely and charming in person, I presume.
Yes.
And
yes, everybody was. And then after that, I believe we had the twins.
Mm.
And they were, I mean, I haven't had, like, I mean, obviously I cover the show and most of, for Hypeable, and most of the stuff we come across is from, like, Dylan or Posey, you know, like, the main stars. Mm-hmm. And the twins, like, not that I was really expecting anything otherwise, but they were fantastic. It was really fun hearing them talk, and they were talking about how, Max, who plays Aiden, is really into like action movies and the violent stuff, and he really wanted to play Aiden because Aiden is full of this fury, and he just really could sort of relate to that, and he wanted to play that character. And then Charlie, who plays Ethan, he wanted to do something really different than he's done before, and so he was very much attracted to the Ethan character. And they were just talking about sort of like their camaraderie and the camaraderie with the rest of the cast and how they ended up with the roles that they ended up with. And that was actually one of the highlights for me just because I haven't seen a whole lot from them yet. And it was so interesting to hear them talk about it.
That's really cool. Like, I wonder if when they got cast, they were like, so there's two roles, which one's going to be better at which? You know, I wonder if they, like, tested each in each role, if you know what I mean, when they were looking for twins and stuff like that.
Yeah. They were talking about how they basically had, like, the Lydia and Aiden scene and then the Ethan and Danny scene, except they both did it with Holland. So they had, like, both Max and Charlie do the part with Lydia in the, like, the room or whatever they were in. And they both did it with Lydia in the motel as well.
Oh, and so that's weird.
They both sort of like auditioned for both characters.
Mm.
And I think it might have just come down to like who wanted to do what more.
Wow, that's really cool. I like that a lot. So then who else was at the thing? Was Crystal there or
Then we did Jeff next, and that was really great. The question that I asked him was why he chose to do, like, the introduction of Japanese mythology in Season 3B, and he basically just said because he's always really liked the Kitsune myth, and he was really interested in having a different sort of mythology come into Season 3B, and so that was really cool. And then after that, we did Crystal. And
by
we didn't
herself,
get
or?
Yeah, by herself. We didn't get a whole lot of time with her because we were wrapping up, and we actually missed out on Holland and Daniel, which I was really sad about, but we got most of them.
Yeah, and, I mean, did you get to meet them? Like, you know, were they kind of, like, saying hi, like, aside from the table? Because you got a photo, like a fan photo with Jeff. So was that after his round table or after the whole thing was finished? Like, did you get to talk to anyone at all, you know, as a fan or from, you know, or as, like, you know, the Hyperball staffer or whatever?
No, like, Matt came up to me and he was like, oh, you're from Hyperball. I said, yeah, I'm Karen. He was like, oh, you know, we love you guys. You're so awesome. And I said, thank you. And he kind of had to run, so he couldn't really stick around and say hi. And then, no, I didn't get to talk to anybody other than just the hello when they sat down at the table. The picture that I got with Jeff was actually after the Character of Music panel.
Oh, and, cool. Yeah.
And I went up to him and I was just like, oh, hi, you know, I'm Karen from Hyperball. And he was like, oh, Hyperball, we love Hyperball. You guys do a fantastic job. And I'm like dying inside, trying not to freak out. And I asked for a picture and he was more than happy to take one. And yeah, that was very exciting.
That's really cool. That's, it's so, like, I get really, like, weirded out. Like, not weirded out, but, like, I don't know how much they know about us, if you know what I mean, in the sense of Hyperball, yeah, like press coverage or the podcast, like if they're aware, you know, of what we're doing, if they care or whatever. It's like, you know, we're not doing it for their approval exactly anyway, but it's just interesting to me, like, how far that travels. And, like, if I went up to, like, anyone, you know, in Teen Wolf and was like, hi, I'm Natalie, you know, we do the Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, if they'd be like, oh, you, or if they'd be like, what is that? And I think either response I would just be, like, terrified, though, like, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's really,
I mean,
cool.
Honestly, I never expect them to be like, oh, Hyperball, I know,
yeah,
Hyperball.
Yeah, no.
Because, I mean, we're fairly small. Like, we definitely have a footprint out there, and we're making connections, and I mean, you can tell, like, just as being a fan of Hyperball myself, like, regardless of the fact that I write for Hyperball, our coverage is this really interesting mix of being professional journalists, but also being huge fans of the stuff that we cover. Yeah. And I think that gets people's attention more than anything else, because we put so much effort into it. And I think that they're, you know, actors and showrunners and the people behind the scenes, they keep an eye on what people are saying about the show. They're very aware of the things that are being written, even if they don't always, like, tweet it out or respond to you or something like that. They know what's going on. And the fact that we've gotten into their heads enough that they actually recognize our name, I think is really exciting.
Yeah, I think it's insane, actually. I'm really a bit overwhelmed by the idea of them knowing anything about us, or, like, having potentially heard us, or, you know, seen the way that we cover things. So, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And, you know, if anyone is listening, send us a tweet and be like, lol, because I just want to know. Like, I just want to know. I mean, when you were live tweeting, like, Matt was pretty, like, I was surprised about that. He was like, not surprised in a bad way, but, you know, you were being like, I'm so excited to be here, and he kind of tweeted you in caps being like, where are you? Are you here? And we were like, whoa, okay, this is happening. And did you meet anyone at all that knew the podcast? Like, you said you were sitting next to someone in the music panel, is that right?
Yeah, so I was sitting next to this guy named Terrence, and he's a fan of the podcast, so hi, Terrence. It was nice to meet you. Sorry we didn't get to hang out more. And it was kind of funny how it happened, because I was sitting in the back of the room while the previous panel wrapped up, and as everybody was leaving, I wanted to jump to the front. And so I sat down, and there was this guy next to me, and I was like, do you mind if I sit here? Is anybody sitting here? And he said, no. And I said, okay, thanks. And he goes, are you from Hyperball? Because I was wearing my Hyperball t-shirt.
Oh yeah
And I was like, yeah, how do you know us? And he goes, oh, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. And he was like, hi, my name is Terrence. And I was like, hi, how are you? And then I was kind of like, oh yeah, I should probably introduce myself now. I was like, I'm Karen, sorry about that if I didn't say that. And he's like, yeah, I know, I saw your name tag. And I was like, oh, whoa, like, it was so trippy just, like, meeting somebody who's a fan of Hyperball in real life. I mean, it was weird enough meeting the people that we talk to every day and that we write with, and that was all very exciting, but it was this weird moment of, this person that I don't know knows who I am. And it was just, it was strange and it was not creepy. I hope I'm making that clear. He was really, really nice. And we were like talking during the panel and stuff. And we were both sort of like, oh man, I wish we sat on the other side of the room because that's the side of the room that Jeff was on. And we sort of went up to Jeff together and introduced ourselves and said hi.
That's really cool. Yeah, I had like that happen. It's really weird. Like we have like our high people group that we talk to, like our high people staff group, and people are always like, oh, so and so at work, like my mum's friend at work knows high people, and something like that, like, oh, I was sitting on a plane next to someone who totally knows high people. I'm like, this has never happened to me, just saying. Like, this has never happened to me, and I've never randomly come across someone that knew Hyperball. I've been around people being like, oh yeah, I do stuff for Hyperball, and they're like, oh yeah, I know that, but I think they don't. I think they just think they know it, if that makes sense. Like, they're kind of like, oh, that sounds like something that I kind of know what it is. Like, not that they're outright lying, but just that they're maybe mixing it up, or maybe I'm just underestimating. But when I was at LeakyCon last year for the Very Potter senior year, I mean, obviously Andrew is a big person for the Harry Potter fandom, so like people knew who he was. But I had two people come up to me, or well, one of them I was volunteering. I mean, this is not about Comic Con. This is not my, this is not my time to shine. This is my funeral. It's my time to shine. Sorry, I'm just gonna get a New Girl you up there. I miss New Girl. When's New Girl coming back? Anyway, but I had that. Like, I was volunteering. Like, I was working as, volunteer staff, helping with signings, like in the background, like of the people signing. And I was like, I did one with like Ivana Lynch and stuff. But then I was my friend Mark Oshiro, who does Mark Reads, who people may or may not like. He does Mark Reads and Mark Watchers. He started Mark Reads Twilight, which was like a mocking thing, but then when he started Mark Reads Harry Potter, he started actually like loving it, and now he does series. Anyway, he was there and he was doing a signing.
This was the guy where you made us read the Shoebox
Shoebox.
Project,
Yeah, oh
right?
yeah.
And we were kind of commiserating together because you like to torture us. Yeah,
Yeah.
I
I
remember.
totally almost made a Shoebox reference in the episode that we did about the episode we just did about Visionary, when Peter said when Peter was like, whatever he said about the ages, like not as old as older than you think, but not as, not as young as you'd think, but not as old as whatever he said. My automatically go-to was like a cabbagey answer, disqualified, but I thought people wouldn't understand. So I guess now, you are hearing it anyway. But regardless, yeah, Mark, he was doing a signing and I was sitting next to him, basically opening pens and just talking to him. And someone goes to me, can you sign my book too? And I'm like, I look up and I'm like, why? And they're like, I'm a really big fan of Glee Chat. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you know who I am. I was just dying. Like, and then I randomly sat next to someone at a panel. I like sat down and the girl looked over and she's like, oh my God, can I get a photo with you? And I was like, what? And then she's like, I'm Elizabeth. I listen to Glee Chat. And I was like, oh no, I know exactly who you are. Okay. Like, it took me a second, but I knew who she was. And she was like, oh my God, I'm like really excited to meet you. And so that actually, it kind of weirded me out. Like, it wasn't creepy, but I'm very self-conscious, so being slightly confronted with that was like, oh my God, this is so weird. So I can't imagine what it's like to like be an actual actor or something and have people be
Right.
like, I know you. And like, if that ever goes away, if you know what I mean, if that ever is like, if people knowing something about you and you not know knowing them, if that kind of like weird ever goes away, because I don't think it's something I've ever like sought out in any way. It's sort of just accidentally, like even podcasting is something I sort of accidentally fell into, but the idea of it is so weird, and it happens so much with like various people, like Andrew must get it all the time, and
Yeah.
it's so weird. Did you see that happen at all with Comic Con with Andrew, like if you were hanging around with him, like anyone else from Hyperball have any stories about Hyperball readers?
No, I didn't get to see Andrew a whole lot, which was a shame because yeah, he basically started this whole thing and we're all this giant family now and he's like our Hyperball dad, but I didn't hear anything actually. I think I want to say a couple of people like just had people say, "Oh yeah, I know what hypeable is." Like they had heard about it and stuff, but I don't think there was anything where they're like, "Oh my God, you're so and so from hypeable. Can I get a picture?"
No.
That would have really freaked me out because I would have been like, "I'm just a normal person." Like.
Yeah, that was the. I mean, LeakyCon, where this happened, is kind of a bit of a like. It's kind of like a really small scale thing in the sense that like there are a lot of people who go there that are not famous, but they're like known to the rest of the thing, and it kind of has a lot of fans who go there who have that kind of like, "Oh my God, someone I know, I'm a fan of you," kind of thing, like attitude. So they kind of make more of it than it is, if you know what I mean. When that happens with a lot of people, like with like video bloggers and like various, you know, anyone, you know, that goes there that has, you know, ever produced anything basically gets treated slightly like, you know, they have fans, which is honestly weird to me, but it's also nice, I guess, that people like it. Like, you know, like it's nice and it's cool. Like I'm more curious than anything to know, like, objectively, like, how far this stuff spreads.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And, I mean, just throw it out there, like, if you guys ever do recognize us at any of the things that we go to, or me, I should, like, speak for me, myself only, but, like, totally come say hi. Because
I have, like, no friends in real life, so please do that.
But like, I mean, we're all fans of the same thing and we're all just people, and hypeable is becoming this bigger thing, but I think its roots is in the fact that we're all just fans. And for me at least, it's just this venue to be able to like spew forth my opinions and stuff.
It's basically just,
maybe apologize for that, but
no, it's the same here. I'm like, oh my God, I get to just like have opinions and like just say them at people. Cool, that's good. It's basically just because I want to talk about the stuff I like, that's pretty much it.
So maybe at Comic-Con next year, when you and I go together, we'll see people from the Teen Wolf fandom and get to say hi to them in person,
make friends. It would be good, it would be fun. I want to go, and I want to meet Teen Wolf fan people. I still get really weirded out when I even meet people that know Teen Wolf in real life. Like I made a new friend recently. Like I went over to my friend's place and she had another friend there who I've met vaguely before, who was going away, so she was like staying with her. And this girl is a Teen Wolf fan, and the girl, my friend, is not, if you know what I mean. And just, like, the fact that, like, she made a Teen Wolf reference, and I was just like, oh, my God. And, I mean, she's, like, a Tumblr person and stuff, so she's, like, a fandom person. She knows about things. But I still get a bit like, oh, my God, people know Teen Wolf. So that's, like, a bit stupid, but whatever.
What's going to be epic is when we go next year and we finally meet each other.
Yeah, Karen and I have not met in person. A lot of the people that she was with I've met. Like, I've met Andrew, Mitch, Laura, and Jen. And I think that's it. But, yeah, we haven't met in person yet, so that will be funny.
I feel like it's going to be this big momentous moment of, oh my God, I finally get to see you in real life.
Yeah. Oh man. okay, any other Comic-Con stories? Like, did you guys go to that, like, pirate party or, like, whatever the hell that was?
No, the reason why we didn't go to the pirate party was because we had to get up at about 3 in the morning to sleep out for the Once Upon a Time panel, which we had to get into because we were covering it, and the line was getting pretty long, so we decided to meet, Kristen and I decided to meet Laura and Jen outside in the line for Ballroom 20, and so I decided that, yeah, the pirate ship party would be really fun, but I need to get at least a little bit of sleep before I wake up at 3 in the morning sit out for this panel.
Yeah, for reals. Yeah, I don't think I actually went. It seemed like there were more, like, parties that were accessible this year. Like, when I went, there was, like, not really. And I know, like, I couldn't be out till, like, 5, you know, like, straight through crew. Like, you know, like, going right from, like, you know. Because the days are, like, so long, and it's, like, most of it is, like, waiting in line and, like, not going to, like, eat and, like, anything like that. And so it's, like, hard, man. It's, like, it's really rough. And then I'm not surprised you got sick by the end of it, but you kind of run on it until the end.
Yeah, it's funny because When you're at Comic-Con, the days you start your days off at like 6 in the morning, and you might get back at a decent amount of time. I mean, it kind of depends, but we were there usually until like 7 or 8 at night. So you're talking like more than 12 hours of literally either sitting in line for hours and hours and hours trying to get into these panels or walking around for hours and hours and hours. And the days sort of bleed into each other, and
Yeah,
you
it's like, what
don't
is
know.
air? What is time? What is day? Like,
What is
like,
food? Because,
yeah.
like, I literally ate nothing but like these granola bars that I brought with me and Coke. Like, that was what I lived on
Yeah,
for
this sounds
days.
like, yeah, it sounds like, I remember when I went, I had a bag of food. I had like some nuts, and I got like a couple of donuts. Like, we were not staying right in, like, we were staying kind of like, a little while away. We had to get a little tram, but anyway, that was the 7-Eleven, and I got like a couple of donuts and a bag of like pistachio nuts and a drink or something, and I was just carrying a bag of food, and I remember sitting in the panel for Avatar: The Last Airbender in 2011, and I just pulled out my donut, and the person sitting next to me, which I'm gonna drop a name right now, sorry, it was actually Joey Richter from Starkid. I was sitting in
Oh.
the panel. Yeah, long story, but like I'd met him prior, and yeah, we were I basically got them seats in the panel because they were with their agent, and like, long story, you guys know I cover Starkid for Hyperbole as well, so like, it's a thing. And I was eating it, and he was like, "Oh my God." And I was like, "What?" I was like, "What?" I was like, "Am I doing something wrong?" He's like, "It smells so good." And I was like, "So it's like everyone just doesn't eat. It's like you're just panel, like kind of like, and it's just ridiculous." Like, I think I went in the afternoon. I think I got a slice of pizza, like when I was going off the site to go to the Nerd HQ headquarters, which is like a charity event run by Zach Levi, basically, where he does these. You don't have to have a Comic-Con pass. You just have to buy a ticket to the special events, and they're like small intimate panels of 200 people or something for, and a lot of the big names do it. Like, a lot of the big names who are friends with him do it. Like, I saw one with Seth Green, and I saw one with Zachary Quinto. I know this year, Nathan Fillion, there was a Doctor Who one, which was new, and Dylan did one for the Maze Runner, which you didn't get to go to, did you?
No, because I had to, it
Get
was
into
right before the
the panel.
panels. Yeah, I had to go to that. But Jen and Kristen from the site got to go, and they said it was amazing, and Dylan was awesome. And they actually have, if you guys go to hypeable.com, find the post about the Maze Runner. We have a video. It's the official video from the Nerd HQ panel, and you can watch the whole panel. They don't show you the footage from the Maze Runner, but Kristen said it was amazing and that she's so much more excited for the movie now. And I think it was basically the part where Thomas, who Dylan is playing in the movie, it's the lead character, Thomas comes out of the box, and it's kind of like your first introduction into the Glade and the whole idea of like the maze and all of that stuff. And she said it looked really, really good.
That's so cool. We'll have to do an episode about the Maze Runner when the movie comes out, and both go and see it, and then yeah, do an episode. I mean, do you know when that's meant to premiere? I mean, going a bit off track, like, could it be one of the movies that premieres at Comic Con next year? Or because you know how they do some world premieres of like sci-fi movies and fandom movies at Comic Con, so it may not have that. It may have a regular premiere, but we'll see.
They might have a panel at next year's Comic-Con, because I almost want to say that it's coming out in March or May next year.
Oh well, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. But either way, we'll definitely do a review of The Maze Runner because it, obviously a lot of our cast do a lot of different things, but this is a very big deal, this one. So, we'll have to give it a bit of attention. Anything else from Comic-Con before we sign off?
I just, Comic-Con was very, very intense and very, very overwhelming, but in the best possible way. And I would recommend anybody who's really into fandom and really, really into the shows and the movies that they like to go to Comic-Con if you can. I mean, it's hard to get badges, but if you can do it, it's definitely. I mean, for me, like, the way that I kind of talked myself into this trip, because I live in New York, like, I had to fly across the country to be able to go to this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, you know what? This is going to be a once in a lifetime thing. I'm going to go, and it's going to fulfill, like, check off of my list. But you get there and you're like, holy crap, these are my people.
Yeah.
Like,
and now you want to go every year, right?
Yeah, and now I'm like, okay, how can I swing it so I can go next year? Because it's just, it's that amazing. And like I said, it's intense and it's overwhelming, but in the best possible way. And I mean, everything you do, like I slipped out for the Doctor Who panel. We got there at 11 o'clock at night, and the panel wasn't until noon the next day. And I mean, we got up and we saw, like, the Supernatural panel was at 10, and the Breaking Bad panel was at 11, so we had to, like, sit through those and everything, so it's not like I was just sleeping out the whole time, but, like, I slept on the concrete sidewalk with the water right next to me with two people that I'd only met twice in my life beforehand. It was Jen and Laura.
Yeah.
And it was one of the highlights of the whole Comic-Con,
yeah,
if you can believe
real.
That. Because that's one of the experiences when you go to Comic-Con, to sleep out and to make sure you get into this panel that you really, really love. And it's just, it was cool.
I remember one of the first reasons that I was like, Darren, Chris, you are my people, is because he was talking at one point about sleeping out for Comic-Con panels. Like, that's something that, like, anyone who's a nerd, even if they're famous now, who's from California or has been to California, has slept out for Comic-Con panels. Like, it's just so cool. And, like, I remember when we did it, we weren't planning to, and I was like, and this guy, basically, who was cosplaying the 11th Doctor, and he was ginger, he had red hair, and he was perfect. Like, he just, the way he walked was exactly like Matt Smith, and he knew he was amazing. Like, he wasn't arrogant, but he knew, like, he had, like, he would have had a trail of every girl at the con following around him, if you know what I mean. But he sort of, we were like, you're so cool, like, you look so cool, and he was like, are you coming to sleep out for the panel with us? And I'm like, I don't know, wasn't thinking, but he's like, there's so many people, we should all, you know, hang out overnight, it'll be really good. And I was like, okay. And then, it was really fun. It was like really, it got really cold, but it was really fun.
Yeah, it was a little chilly. And that's the other thing about, we were talking about this earlier, not during this episode, but we were saying how everybody at Comic-Con, you're all there for the same reason. Not exactly the same reason, because different people go to different panels, but you're all nerds and you're all there because you are so into fandom and into the things that you love. And
you have that initial barrier of meeting someone taken away. You know that you can relate to them on some level because you think about things the same way.
Yeah,
even if they're different specific things.
And the funny thing is, to prove this to you guys, this is what happened to me, okay? You remember how I was telling you that I got stuck in Texas?
Yeah.
Okay, when we were at the airport in Texas, this guy came up to us, and he saw, I got a Divergent shirt, and he saw the back of my shirt, and it says, like, Divergent, and then the date that it's going to come out. And he goes, did you go to the Divergent panel? I'm like, no, I didn't, but Mikhail did.
Yeah.
And so, like, they were talking, and we were talking back and forth, and he was wearing, like, a Buffy shirt, and we were just, I mean, it was almost an hour, I think, when we were talking back and forth about a whole bunch of different stuff, and we, like, you know, exchanged business cards, and we were talking about all this thing, because he was from New York, too, and our flight got canceled, and we were like, oh my god, what are we gonna do? He ended up helping us out, like, he gave us information that he was given, because he got right into the front of the line, and so we were helping each other out. We ended up staying in the same hotel room together with this guy that we had met, like, maybe 2 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that sounds like, are you nuts? This random guy you, like, shared this hotel room with? But no, it's, everybody is there for the same reason, and you guys are all instantly friends. You just have to turn to the person next to you that you've been waiting in line with for 3 hours and say, hey, you know, I like Teen Wolf too. And, you know, conversations start that way, and new friends are gained, and it's just, it's amazing.
I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Besides from Hyperball, which is obviously also a fandom venture, every single friend I have right now, it, like, as in all my friends in the UK, all my friends in Australia, all my friends in America, a few of them are through fandom online, and the rest of them, the ones I met in person, are all people I met in queues. They're all me, like, whether it was for, like, a music, like a gig, if you know what I mean, which also has fandom, or if it was, like, a fandom, like, nerd event, every single person that I've met who I haven't met in line is people I've met in queues. So, and they're all my, like, lifelong, like, best friends, like, so that's, like, people I went to school with weren't really like that, they didn't, like, turn out the same way as me, if you know what I mean. I think it's really lucky, like, I think now that, like, nerd culture is becoming bigger, you could, like, people who are like me might find people at school who are also like that, if you know what I mean. But when I was at school, it was not like that. And so everyone I have is like from fandom in one way or another, either online or in person at something like this. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, this is the bright side to fandom, is that you guys are all in it together and you understand each other. Like, my best friend and I, we're super, super close. And, like, I've been getting her into Doctor Who and stuff like this. But sometimes I forget that she's not on the same level as me, and I'll, like, make a joke and I have to explain it.
Yeah.
Not the same thing, whereas, you know, if I were talking to you and I'd make, like, this Teen Wolf joke, like, you would totally get it. And she's like, what? Yeah. And it's just, it's funny how instantly you have this relationship with people who are in the same boat with you.
Yeah, it's really great. Like, it's really cool. I love fandom sometimes. Sometimes it's a bitch, but sometimes I really love it. Okay, well, I mean, I think that we could probably talk about how awesome fandom is all night, but we have already recorded for a while tonight. Before this episode, we were putting together a few things tonight. So for now, I guess that we'll say bye, and you're going to be hearing a lot from us this week. So, yeah, keep.
We don't mind.
Yeah, it was a big week for fandom, so you're going to be hearing a bit from us. You know, this was episode, 30, and then we're going to have episode 31 before the next week's Teen Wolf episode, before The Girl Who Knew Too Much, which is going to be a pretty big deal, I think. So,
yeah.
For now, yeah, it's going to be epic.
Everybody wish me good luck with my cold. I have caught the plague of Comic-Con.
Yeah, con flu.
I'm kind of dying right now, so send me positive thoughts and make it go away really soon.
Yeah.
I'm like, every time you were talking, I like would mute and blow my nose so it wouldn't sound bad.
Okay, well, get better. It was worth it, I promise.
It was. It really was.
Okay, so we'll say bye now. So bye-bye to Karen and bye to me. So bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. The fox, by the way, she ran inside when I was outside, basically. There was in that little break, there was a donation man coming to pick up some clothes, you know, like for a charity, like old clothes of ours.
Yeah.
And the fox ran inside because she likes to sit on the couch. She hates outside. She hates going outside. And then I went over to pat her, and a cushion fell on her head from the top of the couch, like a small cushion. She did not like that. She was so confused. She was like, and I swear, if you've not seen a fox getting hit in the head with a cushion and being confused by this, it's like, wow, you're a really fierce, wild animal, aren't you? Like, it's just so stupid.